Hi, this is the Dark Tangent, and the speeches you're about to listen to were recorded at DEF CON 6, which was held in July 31st to August 2nd, 1998, at the Plaza Hotel and Casino in Old Downtown Las Vegas. These speeches are copyright, non-commercial use, educational uses only. If you'd like to use them for any other purpose, please contact DEF CON at www.defcon.org or email to dtangent. That's DTANGENT at defcon.org. Now, some of the speeches were lost, so you're getting what we've got recorded. Now sit back and relax, and here comes some knowledge to your head.
Okay, to start out with, I don't know why you're all here. I'm going to tell you everything that you already know. Seriously.
All right, we're leaving.
So, I'm just being honest here. I'm not going to give any new breaking news. This is everything we already know, just that I decided to prove it. Slide.
Beep.
Okay. It's common knowledge that there are many security risks related to modem dial-ups. There are relatively few, if any, published references. I was writing a report several years ago. They wanted, like, are URLs and references of the app? And I was thinking, like, okay, I couldn't find it. In fact, looking at other people's websites and WeDo audits and stuff, nobody even looked at war dialing. Like, what? So I figured, I'm going to fix this. So I decided to change it. Well, things are worse than I expected. You surprised?
No.
Interconnectivity modems are equally insecure. Everybody's going out there buying firewalls. Salespeople are selling you firewalls. Over 80% of your security problems come from the inside. So what are they doing? I mean, it's sort of like put a big lock on your front door, you don't have to worry about the windows. Seriously. Well, interconnectivity, modem connectivity, equally insecure. Big thing. Sysads do not care. I've learned this. I found a lot of insecure systems. I call them up to quote, "Why are you doing this?" A financial institution had modem dial-ups, basically free PPP. Lots of modem banks. They're like, you know, there's no password. And you get out to the internet, and into their internal systems. Actually, the dial-ups are into the firewalls and go either direction. Mind you, the feds in the audience, the laws are there are no federal or state ordinances against war dialing. It's a local ordinance. Article 47 of the FCC it talks about, you know, spamming and cold calling. You're allowed to call somebody once. I know I'm really gray area here, and I'll lose the argument if you argue with me, but you're allowed to call somebody once. I only call people once. The borderline thing here. But sysads don't care. Also, it's legal to look at the banner, but you're not allowed to do anything. Like, look at somebody's front door and see that it's a, you know, cheap lock, but I'm not allowed to see if the door is unlocked. Well, that legal part aside, next. I posted various mail lists, that's if anybody's interested. There's a few people in your audience who sent me little scripts, unfortunately I couldn't use them. To write good statistical data, you need a very controlled environment. In other words, I needed the full exchange. I needed it done on a modem that actually is worth a damn. Hopefully one that actually does 28 or better since I'm also cataloging speed. So, unfortunately, I couldn't use anything. This data is based in the San Francisco Bay Area. These are area codes I hit. MCI had a really cool phone plan in California for a while. $24 a month, unlimited dialing for the entire LATA. My LATA, I'm in 510, my LATA is, 408, 415, 510, now also 925 we should split, and 707. Oh yeah, 650. I'm in the Bay Area, I was able to call up to the Northern California border. For some reason they stopped offering this service. 250 calls an hour. Okay, now it makes me restrict down to 12 mile radius, if you notice. It's got the key bounce there, the backup one. If you notice, this is why I'm concentrated 4 and 5 San Francisco. I get 2/3 of San Francisco from where I live. I live in Berkeley, Oakland. I get most of 510. Areas of 510 are slightly out of my range. By the way, if you goof up and dial outside your range, it costs you $300. I've done this 4 times. What am I going to do, argue? Yeah, my girlfriend, you know, gathers some of the bills so we can get the heavy envelope. Dump! Next. Simple statistics. I can say 1% is carrier. Now, Pat Bell, all the places are saying, let's raise the modem rate, let's raise the rates, because everybody's camping on the phone lines. Voice lines are not, you know, our system is designed for low-to voice lines, it's not data, blah, 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 wah, wah, wah. 1%, that's a generous number. Actually, numbers recently drifted down towards literally 0.9%. It varies. And this isn't, you know, this is, by the way, this is of what I dialed in California in the Bay Area, which is arguing up probably the most modems per capita. And I'm still getting 1%. If you average in all phone numbers dialed, you know, like it stumble upon like a pager bank or something, you know, it drops down to 0.9. So, what are they raising our rates for?
Money!
For 18.4% busy. I dial it a few days later, I dial the busies one more time. I really, then I move on. So we're looking at 18% busies, ring outs. That means like two rings and I hang up. This way I don't trigger your voicemail system. That says 33.3 timeouts. That means somebody picked up. Answer machine, sorry. But here's a basic circle here, real, very slight. Currently, 402 exchanges scanned. That was as of a week ago Thursday. I've dialed over 4 million numbers. Next. Okay, now from like interesting stats you security professionals love. I know what you're doing or something. Folded down here. Okay, dial up to see the greet users as a welcome message. Point of reference, talk with friends at NASA, stuff like that. Then a case where they fired somebody, he kept dialing in. Why? Well, they never turned off his account, you know, efficiency, and had a welcome message on the login banner, and he got away in court. Anybody who's interested in their dial-up being secure, no welcome messages. Less than 2% warn away possible intruders. I mean, come on, you know, big scary, oh no. We've all seen, what movie was that? With the video pirates. The FBI warning comes on the screen, these big gnarly video pirates like, ooh, I'm so scared. Yeah. But if, you know, that's basically the same thing in the sense you look at these warnings. But at least you have, at least you have, like, how can I say they didn't know?
On your message, make sure that you specify that they'll be liable for civil liabilities and not just criminal.
And let's see, majority of dial-ins overly identify themselves. I love stumbling upon an open dial-up system. And, you know, actually, in seeing the name, you know, financialsystems.com, that is not a real domain, probably is a real domain, but not one that I stumbled upon. But it's, I love it. You know, give me your domain name. I go and I type in who is, I go to your webpage, I see who you are, what you are. I found currency exchange web pages I was able to get into behind the firewall. I have some screenshots of better shit to come up soon. Next. Average, okay, here's some standard statistics. Average is about 94 modems per exchange. How juicy it is. Okay, we've all looked around and poked around the internet, probably have a friend who does, right? Now, what is your chance of getting into, or your friend getting into a system? Well, highest percentage of modems exchange is, let's see, 6.1%. But this is interesting. UC Berkeley, you know, college is notoriously insecure. Their modems are fucking butt tight. Seriously, banks, ISPs are slightly, slightly better because they want to make sure you give your password so they can charge you for it. But most companies, forget it. Easy, no problem. Next. Of surveys, this is interesting, weird numbers here. I use Tonelook, by the way. I know every modem I get, but not all modems give me text. In other words, you know, these occasions where you probably got a kick-ass security system where you type in a password for even answers you, or maybe you just left the modem on and the computer off. I don't know. But 0.8%. We're looking at 87% communicate with some type of data. The remaining amount basically has an answer, but nothing happens to you. Misconfigured modems. If you have a computer with a modem and you turn off the modem, you turn the computer off with the modem on, at least then it's a recognize the DTR, CTR type of thing, so the modem doesn't answer the phone. These are misconfigured. So you gotta argue either these are good security systems or misconfigured modems. Next. Okay, here's some interesting numbers. Let's see, we have the unauthorized access banners. 1% identify the domain name, Shiva Land Rovers. Or they said, hi, I'm Shiva Land Rover, by the way. At, you know, ampersand space, username colon, or user ID colon, that's a Shiva Land Rover. Recognizable, really easy. And I was a bit lazy, a little bit drunk last night. I was hoping to get an internet connection in here so we could go to my webpage. No, you can't get to it yet. I need to sanitize the data. Do you have any idea what type of civil I'll be able to have by reaching this database as is? I'm going to scrub it first, then I'll give it away. Then if I just give you the numbers, you're going to start hacking the site, and all my data, my statistics become unprovable. But 2% cheap Land Rovers, 3% Annex, 4% Ascend. I think the Ascend is so low because it's used for just, I'm only doing POTS lines, not ASN. Not other, like, idea set or something. Phone switches, roam. Okay, this is interesting. Phone switches, this is the console port. You know, I'm just making up temperature in the room, copyright on the OS. Ken Tumasama, who I've talked to, he's about around here somewhere. And I think his boss is here. There he is. Come up here. Well, I had to regurgitate what he said, but I'd like to have to give you your impression of anything, any phone switches that answer with, like, hi, Rome. He's in the business of, like, fixing this stuff.
If you don't put a protection device on the maintenance port, you're hacked. Not so much from the standpoint that you've let it open, it's just that it's required. All switches are required to generally pass information to the service provider so that they can fix the switch if there's any problems. 80% of the problems in a PBX can be solved remotely. And there generally is a maintenance port attached to the switch. So you gotta protect it. But then some of you put in single line dialback devices. Single line dialback devices, if you had gone to the 2600 table and looked through some of the old issues, there was an article about how to defeat single line dialback. Of course, you know, a publication such as that really doesn't want to give out too accurate of information, and so the article had a few errors in it. But if you looked in the letters to the editor, several issues later, they told you how to correct it. So, two-line dialback, key authentication, encryption, there are devices out there. Who knows how Lucent protects their switches? What's the device called? What about Siemens? What about Northern Telecom? Now, I'm asking this question for a reason. Most of you get into computer systems. The old school and the old guard out of this community knew telco systems inside and out. Most of you are using scripts.
Okay. Other information you can give me on this is, by the way, these are typically rogue systems that are basically bought, not under maintenance contract. I'll get into a little bit of that later. Let's see, what else? Oh, the voicemail systems, lots of them. These are not the voicemail as in, hello, use number of, actually, here is like, hello, this system, we have 18 hours of recording time left on this machine, et cetera, et cetera. Why should I be getting this? This should be on an inside dial. I should at least call up your number and type in an extension, then get to this prompt. I mean, mind you, it's not security through obscurity, but at least it slows me down by a week. Yes? I found a lot of Taco Bells because they have Taco Bell in their login prompt. The other ones I really can't identify. By the way, they run on SCO a lot. By the way, I interrupt with questions anytime. Yes? Yeah. I'm still doing experimentation, trying to, I know what PC Anywhere kind of looks like in the dial-up, I know what Timbuktu, I need to sit down and make sure I know what they look like. I mean, I can go through the data right here and go, this is probably that, But what is the statistics? You know, oh, 10% are probably Timbuktu. I mean, that's not a hard statistic. But yes, you're right. I run into a lot of PC Anywhere, and I run into a lot. I mean, oh, yeah, lovely thing, PC Anywhere. How about you like this one? When you connect up, it gives you the person's login name and their work group name and all that fun stuff in the handshake.
Related to that, when you find out more about that, can you document it in a page or something?
It'll be documented.
What the standard strings look like when they come back?
It'll be done. One thing on PC Anywhere is interesting. If you connect up and hit return a bunch of times, you actually get a little prompting system. If you send a control E or some escape character, you get this like line garbage. Well, actually, you know, binary data, handshaking. But so we get to have binary garbage, so we get the work group name, person name, all that fun stuff.
Like a mangled X modem or something?
What?
Like a mangled X modem or something like that?
Some of the effect, but you have to, but you know, way too much stuff needs to be identified. Company, you know, work group name is company name, username, little things like that. If you get a username, you log in, it's very useful. I'll get to that in about 10 more slides. Yes? We'll get to that. Yes? Okay, if you call me up and convince me it's actually your line, maybe a caller ID or actually letterhead or something like that, yes, I'll release the information to you. The only reason I'm not doing it is because if I was to release this information and this person, Hobbit here, was to completely root your server because he's this evil person, you're going to sue my ass. Yes?
What kind of protocol is being used? In other words, if you hit, let's say, an IBM bisync mode, would you have noticed?
The syncing I used was control E, return, 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 pause, 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 return, return, pause, pause, pause. Control E will activate certain types of terminal systems.
Was
it?
Were you
using P34 or? The modem, okay, these were, I used Zytels and couriers, but we'll get to that. Okay, one more. What was that? Could be, perhaps I don't know. If anybody, you know, wants to educate me on login prompts, I'm not an expert at this login stuff. My background, internet, ARPANET. I never did the BBS thing, I never did the modem thing. It's my first venture into like the phone free game type of thing. So, you know, yes, he pointed out that SQL Land Rovers and what was the other one? EBM dial? IBM dial, thick accent. Oh, it's the same box. Okay, next. Now. Okay, I found out why. Shivas have been, okay, they fixed this, but you know, if a Shiva's so obsolete, nobody's bought them. If you find them, they've been around for a while. They have an admin account and a root account. The documentation talks about the admin account. To put the password on your admin account, you log into admin, do this to add further modems, blah, 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 blah. People realize there's also a root account built into the system. And root, password, new line, Land Rover, you know, show IP routes, see if it's an internal address. Third time it sends, I love it. I can query my database for the word, you know, send percent sign prompt. Screen faults. I even bump into a lot of times where you see actually the old ASCII configuration screen. By the way, lots of Ciscos, 25% were enabled. Enable effectively when you, on console of a Cisco, if they actually lock it down, you need a password. If they don't lock it down, you have some like simple commands like, you know, telnet, ping, and you type enable that and type an administrator password, or enabling password, they get to actually configure the thing. A lot of them were like left there, ready to be configured. I have a question for you. Why would anybody put a modem on their on the box like that? I mean, hold on. Today's modems are smart enough to have built-in passwords into the modem at least. Anyway. I mean, okay, we have a rack system here. We've got the Cisco here. We've got modems up here. And I can see the guy carries his notebook in to plug it in. And being in California, an earthquake, the modem fell off the shelf, plugged itself into the console. I hope it did that you didn't just leave your modem turned on like this. Another thing, by the way, Radio Shack sells nice little X10 remote controls, dial number, punch system tones. It's really useful for modem banks. Two things for modem banks. This way you can power cycle modem bank remotely, or you can perhaps turn on the modem before you dial in. Gee, that little bit of security, out of band security is always good. Mind you, security is obscurity, but it's out of band. It's better than this. Next. Just meaningless statistics. What baud rate did I get? You don't see 900 much. One note about baud rate. If it connects to 1200 baud, it's juicy. Seriously, if it's 1200 baud, it's some type of controlling system, it's a juicy dial-up. It's a heating controlling system for a building, it's, you know, it's your Octel voicemail, so it's something good. And when you get the higher numbers up here, it's a more modern system, but, you know, that baud rate, I mean, when I go through the log files, I see 1200 baud, it's going to be good. Yes? No, actually not. Yeah, I didn't get, well, I gave up to 2 rings. Colcott's pickup, I believe, 10 rings. Next.
Steve.
Yeah.
When you made your connection string,
for plus,
did I include any control characters?
Control E, new line, pause, new line, pause. I agree. I was actually thinking about what fixing this problem is, it would fuck up my data. If I go back and do this, then I won't have hard statistics. When I start to find those new machines, I can't keep a percentile unless I start tracking which ones are different. This is all done on flat file system of Perl scripts. By the way, we'll be releasing tools. I have, anybody uses Tolo generates a DAT. You run a guy like DAT to PBM converters, you generate GIF images, really convenient actually. But okay, residential exchanges. Okay, people here are familiar with ToneLoc. If you're not, here's a quick definition. Great little utility called ToneMap. It generates a 100 by 100 square. That is, let's say this is the 849 exchange. That's 849000, 85999, 849000099. So you get an idea, we're dialing this way. I actually do random dialing, but sort of getting the counts down. This is, you know, scrambled eggs here. You know, probably mixed up residential and business, stuff like that. 109 modems. Yellow are modems. Red is busy. Gray is timeout. And I think the green is, green is supposed to be timeout, and the gray is, well, whatever. The colors get all fucked up. Next. This is more of a business exchange. Business exchanges typically give it up in banks. You don't get the entire exchange unless you can prove it and give money. So you get a slot, you get like the 5,000 through something else. Ken, what's the official name for that?
Not too sure.
No. There's a name for it, but I forget, so I'm not a phone person. Okay. So here we are, ISP show up as yellow. Here's an ISP that landed a few hundred dial-ups right there. We have some heavy reds here. This might be a pager bank or a voicemail system. They busy out the extra modems. Here, 123 modems. Shitloads of busy, bunch of timeouts. But this, if you look at that, you pretty much, that's a business exchange. And you just look at the squares, you just see it. Next. Okay, this is actually my home exchange. Let's see, I'm 2230, so about 22 in, 30 down. I'm right around there. Maybe that couple of those yellows are one of my modem banks anyway. This is an old exchange. This has been around forever. This used to be a 415 area code, now it's in a 510 area code. That's a modem bank, right out of the middle of a residential block. Modem banks show up as, you know, either if you haven't paid your modem bill, they busy them out. They haven't sold them, they busy them out. Gets a quick beep, beep, beep. By the way, Sportsters suck. Sportsters hear the beep, beep, beep of a modem, they go, oh, busy. I had to throw away so much data because of that. Particular exchange mix. So this is an interesting one. There's actually businesses in here, but this is an old block, so this is why it's random and that. Next. A lot of people ask me for time to even look at things. It's too much an effort for me to try to redial like 12 hours later. You know, there's some delaying, there's no guarantee how long a run's going to take. It's just, I just may just run through it. Yeah. White pages. in the white pages, here's a list of local numbers that you can call without paying a toll. 12-mile radius, just type in those exchanges. And occasionally they do a split off in the area, like we did at 925, which is the Pac Bell webpage, click, click, click. Here's all the exchanges in 510 that are now 925. Thank you. Thanks. Yeah. Makes my life easier. But here we are. Can you spot the NetCom dial-up bands? Real easy. And this, I expect to say it well. Actually, seriously, folks, it's yet another it's another pager bank, but busy signals. Up here? Yeah, it's probably a little ISP. I have to look at the data to catch it. Next. UC Berkeley. Kind of yellow, isn't it? But, you know, randomized, UC Berkeley had 642 for the longest time. They had a second exchange about 8 years ago, 643. That was after the advent of computers and modem dial-ups. So probably some of the original banks around here, some busies, and, you know, I was hit a voicemail bank here or something. That purple here, couriers will recognize voice and say, voice. Like tells don't, so purple is voice. It picks it up, you have an operator talking, who knows. But this is Berkeley, most secure, most populated. Next. Okay, what did I discover? This is what you came for, didn't you? Firewall router consoles. I love that stuff. Guys, I don't even know why I pay for, like, you know, high-speed internet service in my house. I got it free. Environmental controls. Want to turn up the heat on somebody? Turn up the lighting. I mean, Sears Building, Oakland, I've got the lighting system. Terminal servers, way too many. Unix shells. The only reason they're a Unix shell if you misconfigured your hardware. Look what carrier the pin is. Make sure your computer listens to carrier. A lot of modems come with carrier on by default. Wrong. You should drop your pin to drop carrier. Your modems are by the way, modems also do a reset on, was it a DTR drop? It's a bunch of things to do. It's usually one of the pre-configurations of a modem using ampersand F2 with the preloads that is sane. But these are, do we get these Unix shells in there? Seriously. No reason. Your modems are told the computer, like, I died. But what happens? You dialed in, you hung up, it's still there. DOS shells, yes. Anybody ever concurrent DOS?
Yeah.
Actually, if anybody actually really knows about concurrent DOS, I'd like you to talk to me a little bit later, because I know a bunch of it. By the way, if anybody has any children in the Bay Area and has seen a Dr. Smith, I believe, he's on Russell Street, I can pull up each other's records. Concurrent DOS. And by the way, he has been told, I leave messages, he works across the street from my doctor. He lives right across the hallway of me. I have called him up. A reporter did a bit on this. The reporter actually did a lot of good footwork contacting victims, people, whatever, and talking to them. We left messages on his voicemail with the secretary, no uncertain terms of what we found, and he has not returned my phone call. This guy is a civil suit waiting to happen. T1 multiplexers. This is my favorite. Oakland Fire Dispatch. Okay. Many accused me of being a fed. I'm not a fed. I'm not an ARC. This is the first time I ever called up the FBI and turned something in. I'm sorry. Take 2 points away from my eliteness. I don't care. You know, Andy Black spoke here at DEF CON. We all have his number. I actually called him up and says, listen, I'm not comfortable doing this, but this is fucked. You didn't get it from me. You know, this is Pete. This is Anonymous. This is bad. They'll listen to you. You fix it. That's the only time I've ever turned something to the feds. Yes, they fixed it in 2 days. And if you want to slap me on the back of the wrist for going to a fed, fine, whatever. This should happen.
That was the Oakland?
Oakland Fire Department. I'll give you the screen in a minute. Cody's Bookstore. Unfortunately, when one of the reporters did the research, they run, by the way, concurrent DOS. And this is basically the ordering database. No, they don't carry Carol Manel's book. They did, they wouldn't. But effectively, we called them up. We called the managers. Turned out, yes, we opened up security net things. We had problems dialing in. The password database was broken up, so we turned passwords off on the ports. So people can get in. They never fixed it for a year and a half. You know, they got BBAD. Sorry. List goes on. This is just like what I think juicy ones that came to mind when I was writing these slides. Quite literally, with like 4 million numbers, I mean, there's not enough coffee in Vegas to keep us up going through this data. In fact, it's difficult for me to go through that much ASCII data. Next. Okay, your guess is as good as mine. We identify that there's some type of MUX for T1, Chevron, Richmond, they know. But, you know, looking at this stuff, we have, you know, diagnostics line card, T1 CSU, alarms, or CR2, you know, clear down, you know, display. You pretty much figure out what it is, but you connect up, you get this. There's a guy who goes to 2600, another reason people should attend 2600 meetings. Yes, the manual if you're in the room. Why is it your articles are so badly copy-edited for content, they come out every quarter? But the meetings are good to go to. And you will learn. If you go there, there's a bunch of script keys, come back 6 months later. A quick plug for hacker meetings. Bring cool shit to give away. Why? Someone think you're cool and they'll try to outdo you. And then people start sharing information. And pretty soon you have a better environment. But this guy goes there and hang out, we chat. He was at DEF CON last year, wasn't this year. I handed him this, he said thank you, he told people to fix it, they didn't. Next. I turned on my Yaesu, scanned the channels. This is a color, you got like, some of these are red, some of these are blue, and different, each of these different colored lines. It's kind of neat, but again, I get to hear like these, like this like little number, this one like up here, jumps back down there. No idea what the grid map they're using, but you know, these are Telegraph Avenue News, goes from Oakland to Berkeley. I don't know what nice thing it was, you know, obviously Oakland. Cemetery, that's way from it near Hayward towards the other side of Oakland. But yeah, I was like hearing the scanner, watching this live, sometimes before, sometimes after. He just said it was a company that puts out these standardized maps that do like, they kind of have the pre-gridded for you, so it's not a local thing. Obviously, some type of standard somewhere. Next, the help menu. You know, let's see, want to test the station printer? Display prior calls, you know, any of the psycho neighbor viewers want to see what fire department is there. You know, reset timers, truck status screen one. I think it's a bit of a F1, F2 type of thing, but works pretty good. University contact information, there's some fun stuff in here. User-written programs, log off didn't work. When I first found it, I figured it misconverted. I figured, I'll just log them off. Didn't work. But fun stuff, you get to see what I was able to do here. Hazardous materials research. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm proving the point here. Next. This is a fun one. What if you have a password? Are you secure? Now, what are the numbers involved in this? Well, I'll show you. Next. 10 hours. Why is 10 hours a bad number? You can do it overnight. 10 hours is less time than when you went home versus next morning you showed up. What is 10 hours? Next slide. Okay, Daniel Klein did some very basic research about 1990. He ground a lot of passwords. Daniel Klein is well known in more academic communities. He basically said, send me your password file. Send it to me by anonymous mail, change the username, I don't care, send it to me. I just want the passwords. And he ran through a password grinder. And it turned out that he had a really optimized dictionary of 432, which, by the way, the Internet Morse Forum happened to use also, but I think the people who documented Morris Herman are nice enough not to involve Klein's research into it. And let's see, we have 12 common account names, you know, admin, administrator, root, tor, guest, etc. You know, for each word, for each account, this way you can do multiple logins in the same account, so I cut down on things. It's possible to brute force in 10 hours. This includes a 5-second delay between bad password attempts and ancient Unix bug. If you log in 5 times, bad password, it gets logged. If you log in 4 times and give up, it didn't log. Yes, it's been fixed, but yeah, little trick, so I did my statistics here on that number. So I'd log in 4 times, assume the 5-second delay, drop, redial, I was able to go through the entire list in 10 hours of it.
Just a point, you can do that with SSH today in the default configuration.
By the way, the language is called Expect. It's one to use. Next. I discovered how juicy are things? I mean, come on, with a little bit of part-time hacking, you know, you could basically, unless you have like the super elite, you know, posted this morning, first person read butt tracks trick. Average, I find an open system every, let's see, about 4 times a week, half of these wide open systems are terminal dial-up servers. A lot of them are like IPX servers or have just internal LAN, no real outside communications. Yes? I have the systems going 24/7. Up to 3, I'm down to 2 lines. Next. Here's some more fun things. How insecure? Based on a small sample, 75% of vulnerable SIM attack. Not just the 10 hour, but you know, either wide open, vulnerable, not that bright. This is an interesting point. Dan Farmer did a quick little thing. Here's this cute little, you've all heard about that little survey Dan Farmer did. My stats match his stats. He did internet, I did dial-up. Observation, again, UC Berkeley, most modems, most secure. So you can't say it's a resource problem. Wide open sites vulnerable. Sites that basically work if you identify yourself. The word vulnerable is borderline, but yeah, I felt that, you know, mind you, this is a small sample. This is something I had to do by hand, going through the lots and lots and lots of data. But in general, I found that most, if they're looking at us as well, I can probably get into this given the time and checking. I mean, I love sites that say, please type in your 5-digit password. I type ABCD, so, and I get the error message. Must be numeric. I'm serious, it's out there. By the way, you bring that one in about 45 minutes. Lighting control system, Sears, Oakland. Next. I guess I had to throw this slide in here just because, you know, a lot of corporate people are like, oh, what do I do? Okay. Build and install an intranet firewall. This way, when evil Hobbit, I love picking on Hobbit because I know him and he won't take insult to take me to court. When evil Hobbit breaks into your site or something, you know, at least he owns your modem bank subnet. Your modem bank is on a subnet, right? Lie to me. Yeah? And you have IP filtering on this subnet so they can only do SSH to other machines inside your company, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, at least you can do is you can do a PPP connection, and then the PPP is all allowed to do TCP or mail connections into an internal machine through secure methods. You know, port 80 only to the internal web server or something, you know, not as bad a risk as wide open. At least you don't have a knock on your door for, quote, your employees hacking. Let's see, so plan ahead, write a security plan. You know, you've seen this before, come on. Test your firewall, see who really does filters, advertise, you know, little things like that. This is a generic slide. But, you know, internet firewalls, big thing, please do it. Next. Now, what do I use? ToneLoad. Good program, a little bit buggy, 16-bit, works pretty good. I like it. By the way, minor threat, it's in jail. Send him a card. First guy banned on the internet. EFF won't help him. I don't remember the exact case. Somebody here might probably knows better. What they finally knocked him on was he had some hardware or anything was borrowed from the telco and he sold it to a friend. He sold a switch. He stole over $1 million of stuff from the telco. Okay, you gotta, when he calls me up, you gotta word it down. I'm on the list of people he's allowed to call. I figured I use the software this much. I actually sent him a letter saying, you know, hey, I use the software a lot. You know, Cody's, by the way, has gotten the paperwork so they can actually send books directly into the jail system. Yeah, I said, listen, I walk up to speak to Cody's, what books do you want? You know, I can't give you money. You know, I could, but he's not allowed to accept it, use it, whatever. And I was like, fine. So I did it. So what do you want? He goes, oh, okay. You can't even get 2600, anything computer related you can't touch. You can't even read, like, how to program in HTML. If you send him email, he says, pairs of paranoia, his mother prints it out and sends it to him. But come on, guys. He's in there. Plus random utilities to read and process the Unix environment on Unix Bigot. This runs under DOS 3.3 on several notebooks. I've got programs of Perl scripts that basically take the data, turn it to GIF images, process it. I've got a little Perl scripts that can do regular expression searches on the entire database and generate statistics. The database engine I use is Perl and egrep. Although as soon as I finish all the numbers in the area for a good lockdown, I'm going to move on, stop this stuff. I actually never continue this anymore. I'll probably use a real database because it's getting unwieldy. If you do a full search on an unloaded machine, it takes like 3 minutes. Next. One question I get a lot from people is, how do you do this? Ernst & Young called me up. Now, how do we have our problems doing dial-ups? I go, well, what kind of modem do you have? Oh, I'm a Sportster. So you went out and bought the cheapest modem? No, I mean, buy a good modem, seriously. Zytel's kick butt, I use this 14.41 a little bit. The Courier V.Everything kicks ass, use it. I mean, you want to do ringing detect. Speeds up your dial process. You can really speed things up. Average 250 an hour, Sportster, 80 an hour. And it's inaccurate. You get the three ascending beeps saying that the line is disconnected, Sportster go busy. They're really good at data negotiation and pulling the carrier out of a nosy line, but that's it. And they throw away a lot of data. Next. Let's see, how much time I take in of the current data. My little scan program says I spent this much time. I updated the slides recently. I guess I didn't update all my slides. So these numbers are supposed to match. I wrote this set of slides originally about 6 or 8 months ago for a hackers conference. But this number is supposed to be that number. But effectively, that many minutes, that many hours, that many days, 2.3 years. These are machine hours, modems, they get two at a time going right now, so it gets them burning, going through time twice as fast. I've had up to three machines at a time. Currently, I have only two. Maintenance. I use spare notebooks, notebook computers to do the dialing. And it's too lazy to put together an old 46 system, load up and put a digicard in there and do it right. By the way, when you do this stuff, you wear out your floppies every 2 or 3 weeks. A little advanced maintenance there. Next. Been doing this for about 2.5 years or so. Some days been lost, discarded, corrupted, whatever. Occasionally systems aren't running 24/7 like here at DEF CON. Hopefully they're still going. Question? Yes? I don't know. I was on the cover of the San Jose Mercury News. Littman did an article about a year ago. It's been written up, everywhere. I mean, computer world, a lot of people talk about it. I mean, you show up on one paper, everybody calls you up about it. Every time some security breaking calls, I seem to get a phone call or whatever. Good, I'm a media war. Every time I'm in the paper, I get another contract. But I don't know why they haven't noticed. Everybody tells me, you should be careful. They detect these things. No, they don't. 3 lines in my name, dialing, with 250 calls an hour, and they haven't noticed.
They think you're a telemarketer.
But I'm told they like to crack down on telemarketers on residential lines. He says, my nose just can't do anything, true. But you'd think they would do the Captain Crunch effect would take effect. The Captain Crunch effect is a term I kind of coined. Captain Crunch does, I hack Bart. Bart busts Captain Crunch. Every time he brags about something, he brags about it, they brag about busting him. Well, I'm not quite just bragging about this stuff. I'm certainly not hiding it, and they haven't come to me yet. Yes? I'm sure I have, but I probably didn't notice. Although I'm told by Tom that one of my modem lines doesn't have caller ID on it, or has caller ID, so he was at a friend's house and my name popped up on his modem. Oops, I guess I missed that bank a lot. I have about three banks. A house line, I got a fax line which I've been using, and I got two modem dial-in banks. Anybody in the Bay Area wants at-cost internet access? That's what this org is. You know, we're just trying to pay for the lease line and by selling modem time. And, well, we have spare modems. People don't dial in all the time, so I redirect one. You dial back, you get under the modem bank, you got to give up. Yes? Pseudorandom distribution. The pseudorandom system is a little bit screwy. What happens is it does a random number call for each of the numbers, and then makes sure it hasn't been called yet. I know there are better ways than doing this. Last, I gave this talk at Hackers, and Donald Knuth stood up and goes, actually, if you add 841 to the number each time, you'll go around each one in a fairly random pattern. It'll be much faster. From Donald Knuth, I went, yes. By the way, anybody here knows who Donald Knuth is? Buy his book, Stories in Searching, and put it in the bathroom. Any book you've read that talks about sorting, searching, anything else, the guy who wrote that book had Donald Knuth's book there. I mean, this guy, you've got the linear algebra explaining why this method's faster. This is the way to do it. So, you know, just plug here. The book just got republished. I mean, I don't think anybody in this room has read the entire book cover to cover. I couldn't. Okay. Never called me. I never got that. The only guy that came the closest to me, and yes, I lied, was a Berkeley policeman and he admits his line used to be a BBS. So I think there's some lines in the area that still forward to his line, because he says I called him like four or five times in one night, which just wouldn't happen. And he actually *69 got a modem, did it again. Yes, my domain name is in my login prompt. Yes, or what? And he saw them, figured it out, and sent me email, the whole thing, and I go, he had a BBS, probably one of my users using my dialog bank and just wouldn't give up. I will talk to Johnny and punish him appropriately. He bought it. Abed?
Have you thought of sticking *67 in front of all the numbers?
I guess I could. Things seem to work so far. Questions? Yes? The well secure ones are probably the ones that couldn't do anything. Like, no matter what you do, you get a pound sign. And no, it wasn't a root shell. What?
Next dollar modem.
It was that a modem that gives you pound signs or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I found a lot of those. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the well-secured ones also, by the way, I'll probably pick up in like five rings, use caller ID to not allow me to call in. Let's see, you probably could type in that magic word to even get a prompt. No preamble, no tell you who you are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're talking into a black box until you say, you know, open sesame, all of a sudden the kingdom opens up. Yes, Jimmy, where do you want to log in today? That's, yeah. Yes? I forget, I have to take a look at it. The modem's negotiating and records the data verbatim, so it's, you know, even if it's, the modem does it right and then it gets recorded verbatim, and my log files log in a lot of 8-bit data, I've got some little scripts that go through and wipe away the 8-bit and stuff like that. Yes? I'm getting sick of it. I don't want to be known as Pete Ward Isler Shipley. Please don't do that. You know, I just decided I'd do something useful and get this going. And what I'm probably going to do is finish the local area. I'm 75% of the way of my local exchange. I'll probably finish off the local exchange and then close the books on it. Real fun data would be something the effect of, in 3 years we dial and compare. But that's just, I don't know. Maybe somebody pays me or offers me a degree or something. I don't know. I could use a degree. A few other things. I tried ICN war dialing. Thank you to the person who gave it to me. I think he's a certain Christian, I think. Is he in here? He gave me a BitSurfer. BitSurfer sucked. By the way, you can ICN word out really fast, 0.5 rejections, connect and rejection times. This is what slowed me down with a serial connection. And I've noticed more and more ISPs now have passwords that you have to give to even get to the ICN connection, stuff like that. But ICN word out wasn't that fruitful. Yeah, I just redialed certain exchanges I knew had ICN activated on them, or were ICN, compliant or whatever. And it just wasn't juicy enough. A lot of times I get thrown directly into PVP, which means to fix this stuff, I'm going to have to write a program that automatically... Actually, I have a lot of ideas on how to write a good war dialer, probably never do it, but if you ever do one, you want to have something where, if this pattern, accept this program. So, for example, get a fax, the fax negotiation. When you're the originator, and you're connecting to a fax system, the remote system gives you all the information. Hi, my name, my ability, my paper size, paper length, can I accept PostScript? That's interesting, because you connect up to your other financial systems. Okay, I know who owns this fax number. So when you type in, legally you need to have your phone number in that connection banner, not your company name. And if you just have your company name, the phone number theoretically is illegal, but nobody's ever going to take you to court. And whoever connects up to you knows who you are. And they word dial you, they know who you are, and I don't know what information fax number gives you to TRW, but at least you know where to start word dialing. I'm not that sure. I found a lot of Taco Bells, they're few and far between. Sizzler doesn't have Sizzler. I do send a control E, I haven't really sent that. We can always sit down if the connection's still up and actually look at the database and search it. From scanning through physically, Taco Bell's the only thing that popped up. I know about six of them. And I checked, according to 2600, the default password is rollout. No, it wasn't. Yeah. He says you connect, and you type control X, control Y, control Z, and you get some memory test diagnostics. He doesn't know what it is. He sees it all over the place. I connect with V, I use V.everything because it connects to everything. It's actually one of the statistics I could probably give here is how many people have NMP, how many people have, V42. Slide. You already answered this question. Deep statistical analysis, scanning for facts. I don't know if any, a lot of modems in answer mode will do data fact switching. I don't know if anyone wants to do it in originate mode. I would love to be able to scan and find faxes because I can probably give you an idea of, business equals facts, get an idea of statistics of residential, even though more and more of us having the fax modems at home, et cetera. Yeah. Back when he's doing this weird thing. It's amper. It's AT amper F something. Not amper F, it's F class equals two. It's just a standard. Then your motor. He says there's a modem that exists and it'll do this. We'll see. Rescanning nodes for growth. I doubt that I'll do that, but things are going to be done. Next. Oh, the end. Like I said, I wasn't here.